Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports the Max on the air, and it is another draft night addition to an extent because it's the NHL draft tonight. And who better to talk about it than a guy that has been a number one overall pick, a general manager, an agent, a member of the NHL network staff, and much more. We're always thrilled that he joins us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Brian Lawton, thank you for giving us some time tonight.
My pleasure, Mike.
Are you at the draft?
I am not at the draft. I am watching the television.
And any surprises?
No. Before NHL Network about a month ago. As I predicted at that time, Juraj Slafkovský go first overall.
Yep.
That he did, in fact, overall, in the second pick by the New Jersey Devils here. Player Shane Wright, who everyone thought would go first, did not go second either. It's going to be Simone Nemeth. And then Simone Nemeth is a medium-sized defenseman about excellent. New Jersey needs defense. I'm not surprised they went in this direction. It's going to be a shock for Shane Wright and his camp. But sometimes those are the things that happen. It's been a strange couple of years trying to evaluate these kids, to say the least.
For sure. Now, when you talk about this, and you scouted them when you're a general manager, and you were one, what's the hardest thing about projecting an 18-year-old kid?
I think it's really hard when you have so much play in different leagues. So Juraj Slafkovský, really great Olympics. It wasn't a normal Olympics. How do you balance that out and evaluate him? He was the MVP of the Olympics. Simone Nemeth played in his team in Slovakia, and he was good, really came on at the end of the year. He played for Nitra in the Slovakian league. A lot of people don't see a lot of hockey in that league, but he was a boy. He was a boy in a men's league, and he showed himself really well there in play. And to pulling off of that, of trying to determine a player in major junior versus U.S. high school program versus maybe very difficult.
How about this Cooley kid that's going to the Gophers? How good is he? Top five pick, they say.
Logan, for sure, five pick. Thought he might go third. Don't believe he'll go third with the Arizona that pick yet. But I do think it'll be either ahead of him, and I believe he could still select him. So we'll see. Picks less.
You're breaking up on us a little bit, but I'm going to ask you one more question, see if we can get in. Kirill Kaprizov, obviously, in Russia, they say, and there's a lot of gamesmanship going on right now. What can you tell us about his situation, and do you read anything into what you've heard so far?
Well, we've heard a lot of conflicting reports on obviously what's going on in the Russian players. In Kirill's case, I'm told that everything is fine. He has purchased a new place to live in Minneapolis for next year. I was able to find out nothing that says he won't be playing for the Minnesota Wild and here and present next season.
If you were a general manager and you had him, would you say get your butt back here as soon as you can, or can't you do that?
You cannot do that legally, but I know his agent well, Paul Theofana, and Paul is very astute. He is not a guy to be behind things. I'm certain Billy Guerin has been in contact with Paul and Kirill, and I feel very confident that things are in a good place for him playing for the Minnesota Wild next year. I have next to no concern that will not happen.
Now, the Wild have two first-round picks. Is there, you know, you've sat at this table before. Is strictly best player available in an NHL draft because they're so young and you don't look at all a year or two down the road? Do you ever consider that you might use this guy in March and that counts?
I think it's a little different for every team. You know, there's a difference in management philosophy. For me personally, anybody in the top five got probably more consideration for what we had on the roster and what we were looking for. We took Victor Hedman second overall in 2009. We also had a second first-round pick that year. It ended up being Brent Ashton's son, Carter, that was picked at the very end of the first round. And we just had the best player. So we had two opposing philosophies going on, one cut off by virtue of a top five player and the other one by virtue of what's the asset. He's not stick draft, figure out what to do with that asset down the road.
Last question. Kevin Fiala goes to Los Angeles. See, I guess he left him little choice. How did you feel about what they got in return, and how do you fill that gap?
Percussion of the salary. Kevin Fiala played very well for the Minnesota Wild, but I have to be a tremendous deal in moving him. I felt like a lot of teams knew that the Wild couldn't re-sign him, so there wasn't he was traded. Of course, they did re-sign Flurry today, which is great news for Wild fans. So not by the fact that they traded him, pleasant by the strong return that I was able to get for him.
Brian, appreciate it very much. Enjoy the rest of the draft, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You bet. Nice stuff. Brian Lawton, nice stuff to join us. He was the number one overall pick by the North Stars. I don't know what that would be like to walk into an arena and know you're going to be the number one overall pick. And I'll tell you what, though. Here's the difference between the NHL draft and other drafts. The other drafts, you do have a chance sometimes to draft 18- and 19-year-old players, but not very often. In football in general, you're seeing a guy that's 21 years old minimum. In basketball, 19 would be the minimum. Many times it's 20, 21, depending on. In baseball, you get drafted when you're 18 years old, or you sign and you go to a college, you don't sign until you're 21, unless you go to a junior college. There's different loopholes there. But in hockey, it's an 18-year-old draft for the most part. So you have to be able to project what a kid's going to be like basically by age, you know, what he's going to look like when he's 22 years old. See, because that's about the time that you'd expect him to contribute, you know, sooner for first-round picks, all those things. But, I mean, in general, it'd be a 3 or 4 year window before you can say this guy is ready to turn it loose. He's ready to play on an NHL roster, on, you know, 82-game schedule, all those things. And you're looking at 18-year-old kids. And some of them have not physically matured. I remember one time talking to a general manager, and he said, we looked at the kid that we were going to draft, and we looked at his dad, and we thought he's still got some growth in him because his dad is much bigger than he is, and so we think that he's going to grow, you know, a couple more inches, and add, you know, hands will get bigger, stronger, all those things. But they said that never happened. But they projected that, and they projected wrong. I remember another scout telling me there's a high-end draft pick, and they went around to interview these guys. And so you try to interview these guys to get as much background as you can. But again, what's the maturity level of an 18-year-old kid? They haven't seen the world. Most of them haven't had a lot of adversity because they've always been the best where they play. So you're interviewing kids that don't have a lot that way that's been in their way so far. And I remember this happened with an NHL scout told me they do the at-home visits. And they went to this person's home, and they were greeted, you know, by the family, and they go in and have a meal. Now, a lot of NHL teams would do this, and they do it for a number of different reasons. They want to show, they want to make the family feel good about the organization in case they draft their son. So they want that family to feel like, hey, these are people that really care. We know them. We trust them. So if they draft that son, their son, they can feel good about us. Number two, they want to see how the kid responds in his home environment. They want to see the interaction, the dynamics of a family. Now they don't tell them that going in, but they want to read the tea leaves. They want to see how mom and dad interact. Are they married? Are they divorced? How the different kids fit into this? Are there siblings? Is it a second marriage? How does this work? By the way, Logan Cooley was just drafted. The gopher to be was just drafted with pick number, is it four? Anyway, we'll get you updated on that. But he's coming to the Gophers. He'll probably come here next year and at least play for 1 year. He's supposed to be pretty good out of Pittsburgh. But he was taken number four overall in the NHL draft. Anyway, they go to this particular high-end prospect's house. And they're trying to figure out, and I mean high-end. I mean top five, right? And they're trying to figure out where he fits and how good he is around his family. And when they sit down at the table to break bread and to have dinner and all these things, there's kind of a standard conversation that goes on. Except that they noticed how he treated his dad. And he used the F word. He did things like that. Things that you just wouldn't, a normal back and forth with a father, that it would be, particularly if you assume you're on your best behavior and you're minding your P's and Q's. And he's right in his dad's face telling him whatever he thinks, using whatever verbiage that he wants to use. And that was a big part of the deciding reason as to why they didn't draft him and they drafted somebody else, just because they watched his interaction with his father. And the family thought they were there to learn more about the kid and to learn more about the organization, but the organization was studying the family. Cooley, by the way, goes to Arizona. Mike Gensel, one of the scouts at Arizona on the pro staff. But there is talk that because he's going to a team that's been so bad, that an outside chance that he could ever show up at Minnesota because of that. I don't know if that's true or not. But that's just, you know, some of the whispers out there. But anyway, the guy that they're talking to at this dinner table eliminates himself without realizing it because of the language and the disrespect that he shows to his father. So all these things. And he ended up being a pretty good player. I'll give him that. He ended up being a pretty good NHL player. I don't know where he ranked compared to the people that, you know, they didn't draft, et cetera, or they drafted in front of him. I don't remember that. He ended up being a pretty good player. And one organization said that was enough. That's all we needed to see to say that's not the guy we want on our team. So that's how difficult it is. Those are the things that they use when they try to make decisions in the draft. I got to tell you something. I don't know if you agree with me or not. Sometimes I think I'm pointing the gun right at the head of me in the media, right? Sometimes I think that we in the media, we choose a story rather than find what the story really is. Instead of telling you what really happened, we seek out a story and then we try to make it a story because we think that's what you want to hear. I'll give you a perfect example of that when we come back. Stay with us. Sports to the Max on News Talk 830 WCCO. So one time they booked this radio guest for, I book most of my own guests. But years ago they booked this guest for me, and it's an author. Normally I don't like booking authors because authors are just there to sell books. And they send out press releases because they want to sell their book, and that's why they want to be on. So I don't book authors very often on the show unless there's a local or they unveiled something. And this local author had taken a sample of all NFL players and then which was an extraordinary amount of players because there's thousands of players, you know, that play each year. There's whatever it is, 53 times 32 plus the transactions gets you up to whatever it gets you up to. He pointed out all the problems that they had with the law and all of it was accurate. But all she did was go file all these, you know, police reports, et cetera, based on a sample size of thousands. And I said, that's not indicative of, that doesn't mean that the NFL has a problem. It means that profiling kids this age, 21, 22 years old, and there's this many people that have a police report. And yeah, anybody can do that. And then make it look like we've got a crisis. And so we had a great debate argument on the air about that, because I thought that he was just trying to, you know, scare people and make the, you know, can you believe that the NFL stands for this? And I thought it was a joke. The same to an extent, the last few days, I just got back from Colorado. I left on Saturday and came back yesterday. And I was led to believe that this was going to be the worst experience of my life, trying to get on an airplane and all the lines and all that went with it. So early on Saturday morning, we boarded, myself, my son, his four buddies, and I got to the Humphrey Terminal, and the line was at least six blocks long. I mean, I couldn't believe how far back we had to walk to get to the back of the line. I said, oh, no. You know, we got there early enough. I said, we still got an hour and a half before they board. Are we going to make it? That line moved so quickly and so efficiently, I couldn't believe it. They had more people working than they had accommodated the needs. They understood that the masses were traveling. They understood all that. And it was as smooth of operations I've ever seen. Then we flew right on time on Sun Country Airlines. We landed in Denver, went to the rental car, and the airport was just bustling. I mean, it was packed. Went to the rental car place that we rented the car from, long line again, and it was as smooth as silk because they had a number of agents working there. And so even the line was long, it moved really quickly. Got the car, went out there, traffic jam going to the mountains, came back yesterday. Got to the rental car place, dropped it off real easily. They shuttled us in. No problem getting through airport. Saw very few delays or cancellations on the board there. And Denver is a mega place. But if you watch only the news, you would swear that we're in this crisis mode in terms of travel. And you start to, you know, because they're looking for how many canceled flights there were. Well, how many canceled flights isn't as important as how many overall flights compared to canceled flights. What's the percentage? But they lead you to believe that you need to be scared and terrified. And I say this as a member of the media, but I'm saying if you look for a story, you can find a story. If you want to quote how many number of canceled flights there are, great. But how about the fact that somebody had done a wonderful job of mapping out a game plan, a strategy to make it easy for people when they travel? Because they said, this is going to be a busy travel time. And they accommodated the way good organizations do. But if you watch some of the, I got home last night, I'm watching a national, and they're trying to scare, boy, can you believe it? And look at all the canceled, and they try to show you a board that shows that there's a canceled flight. Yeah, that happened. But it wasn't the norm. Things ran well. And Denver is an incredibly busy airport. Because if you think about it, it's the focal point of the West, right? It's right in the middle of the West. So you've got LA, Phoenix, Texas, Minnesota, Chicago, Kansas City, Nebraska, it all comes through Denver. And it was incredibly smooth. And you never would have known we were in crisis mode, except for the media telling us that we're in crisis mode. And when they send somebody out there to cover it, it's like, well, you got to find some canceled flights. You got to find some people that are really upset about that their flight got canceled. Now they got to make new reservations. They don't know how they're going to do it. And so you got to find somebody, even if it's only one out of 1,000, you got to find that one out of 1,000. That's going to be the focal point of your story. Well, that's not the story. The story was things went relatively smoothly. And sometimes I wonder and I question my own profession, our own motives. If you send somebody out to find a story, sometimes they can find a story, but do you give it proper context? Are you doing it right? Or are you just trying to scare the hell out of people that are on the air and say, look at this, this is so problematic. This is crisis mode. You know, and Sid was guilty of that too. God bless him when he was alive. If Sid wanted somebody to say that the Super Bowl was great in Minnesota, even though it was 15 below, he'd find somebody that would say it, and that would be his headline story. Now, that might not be indicative of all the people that came to town for the Super Bowl, but doggone it, that's what made his column. My point being, when I see this stuff and it plays out in front of my eyes, I say, you know what? I can see sometimes why people don't trust the way we'd like them to trust. You know, you want to get high on 9th and Nicollet today, just walk down there. I couldn't believe it. Marijuana everywhere. Pregnant lady right there in the middle of it. I mean, it's not as good sometimes as we want it to be or as bad as we want it to be, but you need to make your own decisions regarding it. Mike Padden will join us. The Chauvin trial, the Griner trial, the Kaprizov situation next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.